you and I are in a relationship with God. What does that look like? Well, it often mirrors our lives from birth to death. For instance, when we were babies, we were absolutely dependent on other people. And then we became children, and we were still dependent. But boy, did we work to get our independence. And we finally became adults, and, well, we'll talk about that. But first, let's talk about babies. Babies are so special, aren't they? It doesn't matter what your baby looks like, or your grandbaby, or your great-grandbaby. All you have to do is share a picture of that baby with other people, and they go, "Aww." And sometimes they mean it. But this is true. When you first came into the world, God looked at you and he said, "Aww." And he was quite sincere. It didn't matter to him whether you were a pretty baby or an ugly baby, and it still doesn't matter. He sees you through the eyes of love. What mattered to him was that you were his. You are his. He breathed life into you. He breathed life into you. And he still does. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Psalm 139, Lord, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And as I said, as a baby, you were absolutely dependent on other people. You could not even hold your head up. You couldn't cover your naked body. You couldn't feed yourself. You were totally helpless and fragile. And you know what? Your dependency has not changed. Details may have changed a little bit, but not the essence of it. You may have a closet full of clothes. You may know how to put them on your body. You may have a car and you can still drive it. You may have an extra refrigerator in your garage stuffed full of goodies. Mine's got lots of ice cream in it. But none of that would be true if it were not for God, because he gave it all to you. Everything you possess is because he allowed it to flow into our lives. And you are deluded if you think that you did it all on your own. Do I hear an amen? Okay. You are always dependent on God. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, he said, you can do what? What? Nothing. Oh, there were a few things that you could do on your own when you were a newborn. You could suck. You could poop. And you could cry. Make that scream, if you would like. Have you ever heard the word amygdala? The amygdala are a pair of almond-shaped thingies in our brains that trigger our emotions. Now, I have never been a mother. Imagine that. I've never been a mother. But scientists say that mothers, the amygdala of mothers, are activated big time whenever she hears her baby cry. What happens? Her heart rate increases. Her blood pressure goes up. And her love hormones increase. She can become so agitated when she hears her baby cry that she can actually experience physical pain. And to relieve it, she needs to meet the baby's needs. I'm so glad I am a male. Well, God put that natural response in mothers because that is exactly how he feels about you. When he hears you cry, it triggers his love hormones. He wants to attend to your needs, brothers and sisters. He wants to attend whatever they are, if you will just allow him to. Psalm 18:6, I cried out to my God for help, and he heard my voice. But wait, as a baby, you also learn something rather quickly. You learn that mommy responds to you when you cry. Oh, you mommies lost a lot of sleep and a lot of nights in the middle of the night because you just couldn't keep your mouth shut. And it was not always because you were hungry or because you needed to have your diaper changed. You learned that she just might pick you up in her arms and hold you and comfort you and rock you. And it felt so good, so good. But something happened. Mom got wiser and wiser, and she realized that as much as she wanted to pick you up and hold you, you needed to learn not to be so demanding. So as hard as it was for her, she started letting you cry without picking you up. And you cried, and you cried, and you cried until you got so tired that you finally went back to sleep. Well, sometimes God has to do the same thing to us. Even as you outgrew your diapers, and even as you became an adult, God knew that sometimes you needed to let it just cry out and not always give you what you wanted. Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Do I hear an amen on that one? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. But don't forget this excellent promise. It's in Revelation 21:4. Eventually, God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things will pass away. I can hardly wait. Now, once you finally learned as a baby that you were not going to get everything that you wanted by crying, you learned something new. You learned to reach your little arms out for mommy and daddy and say, carry me, carry me. In a way, you were affirming them, because you needed them and you wanted them to know that you needed them. And they loved that. They absolutely loved it. But then you got too big for mommy and daddy to pick you up. But you're never too big for God to pick you up. You're never too big for God to pick you up. In fact, he longs for you to raise your hands to him in worship, and to let him know how much you need him. 1 Timothy 2:8. Therefore, I want men and women everywhere to pray, lifting holy hands. That's why we do it. That's why we do that. When you lift your hands up in worship, your heart follows. For those who have discovered that, hallelujah. For those who yet need to discover that, go for it. It's amazing how it connects you to God. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Carry me." So as a baby, you started growing, and one day your little eyes saw a toy. And it was so colorful and so interesting looking. And you wanted to touch it. But no matter how hard you stretched out your little arm, you just could not reach that toy. So you learned a new word that all mommies and daddies heard often. It was, Mommy and daddy could see exactly what you wanted. But sometimes they would say, "No, no, you can't have that." You did not like that. And so you hated it so much, you threw a temper tantrum. But the answer was still, "No, no." I can't help but think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying out to God, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." And God said, "No." Can you imagine how God must have felt to say no to his son with that prayer? But like mommy and daddy, your heavenly Father knows much more than you do. He sees a much bigger picture than you and I can see. But then there's also this. It was not always no. There are also times when you spotted that toy and you reached out and you said, and they gave it to you. And you were mesmerized by it. It was so interesting looking. You turned it around in your hand and examined it. And then you did exactly what you knew to do. You put it in your mouth. You wanted total stimulation. It's like what it says in the Bible. All good things come to those who wait. That's from 2 Hesitations 3:16. Are you listening? That's not in the Bible. It's not there. Some people think it is. Some people want it to be there. But God's word does say this. In Psalm 27, it says, "Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Are you a patient person or an impatient person? Don't answer. It's just keep it to yourself. Wait for the Lord. Why? Because he knows what's best for you. And not only that, he knows when it's best for you. Well, eventually you got out of diapers and you grew into a child. And then you grew into a teenager. And you really enjoyed the freedom that you were experiencing, didn't you? But even though you were no longer a baby, you still heard mommy and daddy saying that dreaded word, "No." In fact, you probably heard it even more often as a teenager than you had at any other time. I can almost hear the memory wheels going on in your brain right now as you're going back in time and thinking about those times in your life when you knew that no was the answer. As a teenager, you did not like to hear that word, and after all, you had come through the baby maze, and you had done okay, and you had learned self-gratification, and you learned it very well, so you ignored the word no and turned it into a yes. You embraced that new toy, whatever it was, because it brought you a lot of gratification. Genesis 3. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some of it to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. It was not just new toys that enticed you. As a young adult, you looked around at your peers, and you saw what they were doing, and it looked like fun. So you decided you wanted to fit in, and so you joined them, and you did it too. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So you had some fun, and everything seemed right in your eyes, but it was not. But one day, somehow, a special message broke through, went through your ears, into your brain, and into your heart. And you knew that you were wrong. Acts 9. As Paul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. When you heard that message, through a sermon, through a song, through a parent, through a friend, however, when you heard that message, you realized that you had always been like a baby, full of demands, driven not only by your needs, but by your wants. Wants with all capital letters. You felt some remorse, and that's when you embraced this message. Matthew 16, then Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves." The next word is "and." There's more. Must deny themselves and take up their cross. The next word is "and." There's more. Deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And whoever wants to save their life must lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. When God's Holy Spirit broke through and enlightened you with that message and you accepted his challenge, you became a child of God. Not a baby. Not an adult. But his child, regardless of your age. Matthew 18:3, and Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And as you grew as his child, and just like when you were a little baby, you began to learn more and more about the kingdom of God. And one of the things that you may not have learned or mastered is that there is a difference between being childlike and being childish. When you exhibit childlike behavior, God smiles. When you exhibit childish behavior, God does not smile. Because growing up never stops. Never stops. And here's something really important. God finishes what he starts, and he's not finished with you yet. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's face it, brothers and sisters, none of us are where we know we should be and where He wants us to be. But hopefully none of us are where we used to be either. John 9:25, one thing I know, once I was blind, but now I can see out of both eyes. Amen. I don't care if you're 9 years old or 99 years old, your best days are ahead of you. Woo! Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. Well, you may now be a senior citizen. I mean, as I look around this room, I see a few of those. Must be contagious. When people see a photo of you today, they probably don't say, "Aw," anymore. You may be able to hold your head up all by yourself now, hopefully. And you may be able to still feed yourself, hopefully. And you may be able to change your own diaper, clothes. You may even pride yourself on being independent. The truth, however, is that you are still dependent on your Heavenly Father for everything. And you always will be. You always will be. You may even feel like that field of old dry bones that Ezekiel talked about. But remember, God can bring life even into old dry bones. Right, Chris? Right. Ezekiel 37:14, God said, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. Hallelujah. Live for how long? Forever. Hallelujah. But for now, let's end this, okay? I'll end this with a suggestion. Your accuser, Satan, wants to talk to you about your past. God wants to talk to you about your future. Whatever your past, your future is going to be better. So I invite you to lift your hands up to your Heavenly Father and say to Him, carry me. Carry me. Father God, help us to grow in Jesus Christ in every way and draw us closer to You through Him. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.